Well, this morning, the message is entitled Called and Commissioned, and we are going to have a special guest come and speak with us a little bit, Becky Hilbeck. She is from our seminary in Edmonton, Taylor Seminary, and she's going to tell us a little bit about some of the work of the seminary, that what they do. She is actually the Director of Development and Church Alumni Relations. Well, that's a big mouthful, Becky, but it means that she loves Taylor, and she loves the seminary, and she loves to tell people about it. And so she's going to tell us a little bit about some of the things that are going on with the folks in the seminary. She has a bit of a presentation that she'll bring in just a little bit. She's also happens to be, and I just found this out just moments earlier, she's a Shirtell relative of Barry Weiss. So Shirtell relative. I don't know. We didn't get into all the details of how you're related, Barry, but I think it has something to do with that German heritage that somehow is in there. So, but before Becky comes, I just want to share just a little bit of my heart for Taylor Seminary. And it was some 17 or 18 years ago, I was a graduate of the seminary up there. Then it was called Edmonton Baptist Seminary, EBS was the name of it, called NABC before that. That was a college component. Many of the folks, some of the folks here have went to that college. Before that, had it starting as CTI, Christian Training Institute, way back. And so it has a long history with us here as a church, as a group of North American Baptist churches. Our seminary, our college and our seminary up in Edmonton has a long history. And it creates, if you have gone there, it creates some fantastic memories. And the seminary was a great place to seek and to study and to discover God's Word. Some of those years were grueling. If you've ever been out to Bible school, some of those years can be grueling. Like we saw from the boys off in Hawaii, it was very, very hard on them to serve in Bible school. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek because those boys really do have a lot of work to do over there. It's not a cakewalk. I think they have about 6 courses that they do and papers do all the time, but they do take time to enjoy the scenery and the such as well. But it's a good environment. Bible school is a good environment to process how God is speaking to us and how God speaks to us. But this morning isn't just about finding or learning about a place that we can be trained biblically, but it's more about turning our attention to that still small voice of God. Turning our attention to that little voice in the back of our mind that says, that could be you. What if God is speaking to you this morning? What if way in the back recesses of your mind, in your mind's eye, you've said, yeah, I've always had that in the back of my mind that I should take that step and I should go to Bible school, or I should take that step and continue on and go to seminary, or you have in your mind, I wonder if God is calling me to vocational ministry into the pastorate. And sometimes those thoughts are placed at the back of our mind, and we like to keep them there because sometimes if we bring them forward, it's pretty terrifying. If we actually had to step out, how could I do that? What would I do? How would that take place? I can't do that because of my place in life, or I've got other responsibilities or children or all of these things. Those all kind of come in and they sort of crowd out. But this morning, I want us to think about that still small voice that God has, that God sometimes places in the backs of our minds and says, I'm inviting you to come. I'm inviting you to take that step of faith and follow me in ministry, to take more of a leader role, to take out of the excitement and joy you have for God, you would take that step for him in leading his people. I want to share just for a second here this morning of a dramatic call to ministry, and thank goodness that it doesn't always happen like this, but in Acts chapter 9, we find the Apostle Paul, who hated Christians and sought to persecute believers, found Christ on what we call the Damascus Road. and the Damascus Road experience. So here is someone who had a zeal for God, but in a wrong context, and he was actually persecuting the church. God got his attention. God got his attention on the Damascus Road and appeared before him, and he fell down before him. And Jesus asked him, he says, "Why do you kick against the goads?" A goad is like a pointy stick, and they used it to kind of prod animals along. And he says, "Why do you kick against those pointy sticks?" He says, "I am calling you." And so the rest of Paul's conversion experience, he was blinded, he was healed from his blinding, and then later in chapter 13 we find out that Paul is in Jerusalem and he's commissioned by the believers in Jerusalem to go and to serve God. To serve God, to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that the Savior had come. All of those things come together when we consider a calling from God. Sometimes it's that still small voice. Sometimes it's a flash in the pan. It's right there in front of us. And we can't help but turn towards God. This morning, as we consider that small voice, I'm going to invite Becky to come. And Becky's going to tell us a little bit about what some of the work of our seminary is doing. And this is that training grounds for when we answer that call. We say, okay, Lord, here am I. Just like Isaiah raised his hands and he said, "Here am I, I want to serve you." Taylor Seminary is our way of preparing people for ministry. Just as Paul was commissioned, Taylor is that body that trains believers in the things they need to know. So Becky, I'm going to pray for you and welcome here. Becky is going to be going on to Troshu for this afternoon for the mission conference as well. She'll be at the back at the table. You can ask her questions there. And we are excited to have you with us because you love to talk about Taylor. So let me pray for you and let you speak. Father, I give you thanks for the work of Taylor and for the work that Becky does to promote your work there. And today, Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to that still small voice that you sometimes place in the back of our mind's eye to say, "Yes, it is you I'm calling." Amen.
Amen. Well, it is so good to be with you, and just in reference to a few things, yes, Director of Development, Church and Alumni Relations, it took me a while to practice that, to get it right, and so really when I tell people that, they're like, "So what does that mean? What do you do?" Well, I have the distinct privilege of talking with people and churches all over Alberta and our provinces about what God is doing. And it's very exciting. And so I hope you hear that from me today. You hear God speaking through me, because it is exciting, not only what he is doing through us at Taylor Seminary, but I also get the privilege of hearing what God is doing through our churches. And I already feel the warmth coming from you. And so thank you for your warm welcome today. Just to explain that shirt-tail relationship, Barry's wife, Venda, is a niece to my stepmother, who is Mary, who is married to my dad, Walter Galtz. So my mom passed away. Walter Galtz is my dad. I'll go the other way now. Walter Galtz is my dad. My mom passed away about 15 years ago, about 12 years ago. He married Mary. Wonderful lady. We love her as a mother. And that is Venda's Yeah, she is a niece of Mary. So that's how that works. So if you have any other stories to tell me, let me know. That's great. Okay, so let's just see. Okay, we got one more thing. I'm wondering if this is going to work. Okay. We're just pulling up the PowerPoint. I am so grateful for our technicians who operate all this stuff, because I know it from this side, but I'm not very good from that side. And so, yeah, terrific. Let's just see here. Okay. So Sandy, if you have your mouse on the little arrow key, I'm just going to cue you because I think it's not going that way. Try now. we had this all worked out. I think it's because my thing is down below on your thing and that it doesn't read it through the wall. Okay, but no worries. Honestly, if you can just do it for me, I'll just let you know. No worries. Okay, Sandy, go ahead. Just the mouse on the little arrow down below. There we go. Perfect. Great. I'm so used to technology and doing all kinds of things on me, it's like no problem. Thank you so much, Sandy. So officially, I want to greet you and say hello to all of you from all of us at Taylor Seminary and E.P. Wall Center, especially our president, Dr. David Williams. For those of you that may not know, Sandy, we are located on 23rd Avenue in Edmonton. Was that me or you? Oh, good. Okay, so we are located on 23rd Avenue in Edmonton. And if you don't recognize this picture, then maybe the next one you'll recognize more clearly. It's coming. It's coming, isn't it? So how many of you have been up to Taylor and know where it is? A few of you. Okay, well, you're getting forewarning. This is what it looks like in wintertime. Next slide, Sandy. We are building for the future. And next one again. Stencil Hall, our main auditorium, is in need of some upgrades, some new technology, to allow for more flexibility to host some conferences, events, and for campus events that we host and events. Both near and far away. Okay, and one more. So anyways, that is something we're doing, but really the technology is only a means to an end. It's so that we can more efficiently serve our students and be able to do the types of things in this culture and environment that we need to do in terms of transmitting courses online, or just being able to record things and other things like that. So it's a means to an end. And so that's why I asked the question, but is it all bricks and mortar? And so I'd like you to listen to Stephen Epp, one of our students, as he reflects on that.
I'm not sure if you've ever been to the prayer room at Taylor, but in the middle of the prayer room there's a pillar, and at first it seems odd that you would have a pillar in the middle of a prayer room. And one day as I was in the prayer room praying, I was reflecting on this pillar that was standing in the middle of the prayer room, and I thought, isn't it this beautiful symbol of how Taylor is supported by this pillar, this pillar right into the prayer room, that what I'm doing as I'm praying for students, as I'm praying for the institution, that this is one of the pillars that is holding up Taylor. And then what was neat is when you exit out of the prayer room, you go into this common area at Taylor, and there's two more pillars as well. There's a pillar that has a cross on it, and one of the other pillars of Taylor is Christ. And so we have the pillar of prayer, we have the pillar of Christ, and right in the middle of the room, there's a third pillar. And that third pillar is at the center of our chapels, of our community, when we eat together. And so you have three pillars that seem to be holding up Taylor as an institution: the pillar of prayer, the pillar of Christ, and the pillar of community. And I just, as I was reflecting and praying that morning, I thought, How amazing is this, that physically, as well as, I think, spiritually, there's these three pillars that are holding up Taylor. Thank you.
prayer, Christ, community. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's often what we talk about in our churches. Well, and the reason why I want you to know that is because Taylor is more than just a building, an organization. Taylor is composed of faculty, staff, and graduates and students living out a call to Christ's call on their life, living out a mission to that. And so my purpose here, as I've mentioned before, is really to let you know how much we appreciate the partnership we have with you as a supporting church and simply share with you what God has been doing. And so there are four things that we want to look at today. Who are we? Where are we going? How will we get there? And thank you for joining us. And so on the first one, who are we? And what is our place in God's kingdom work? Well, you may or may not know that, like this church, we are part of the North American Baptist Conference, and with many students, though, coming from many different denominations and countries. It's quite amazing. Over our 75-plus years history, we have grown from, you know, mostly ministering within NAB to NAB plus many other denominations and countries with students coming to us. Some of you may be familiar with our history, but for those of you who are not, I'm going to give you a quick 2-minute summary. So take a look at this video.
In 1940, a man of vision planted a training institution in the Canadian West. Reverend E.P. Wall founded the Christian Training Institute with a clear vision to equip young people for the work of ministry. The school was to become a vital and important part of the ministry of North American Baptists. CTI became North American Baptist College, then added a divinity school, which would become a fully accredited seminary, and eventually became Taylor University College and Seminary. Financial and economic challenges led to the closure of the undergrad programs in 2009, but Taylor is returning to financial health. We remain focused on our mission to develop Christ-minded leaders who make a difference in the world. Taylor Seminary has been retooling to meet the educational needs of the church and is growing. Seminary enrollment is presently the highest it has been in years. The E.P. Wall Center, which began in 2008, offers many courses, workshops, and training programs offering lifelong kingdom learning. Dr. Willie Muller, who was one of our first graduates and taught here for 27 years, has also traveled and ministered extensively. He says, "Wherever I have gone in my travels, Mexico, Africa, and Europe, including Russia and Ukraine, I have met students or former students of this institution who are really impacting the world for Christ." Over 3,000 students have benefited from the training offered by CTI, NABC, NABDS, EBS, and Taylor. Those students fill positions of influence in business, in government, in churches, and in homes and communities. But more important than their leadership is their Christ-minded leadership. Change and challenge have always been part of the school's history, but we also rejoice to say that God's faithfulness has always had the last word. And Taylor remains a vital and important part of the ministry of the NAB to the wider evangelical community and to the world.
So God indeed has been faithful. And as I mentioned, we just celebrated our 75th anniversary just 2 years ago. But we are also excited about where the Lord is leading us now and into the future through the partnerships that are being developed. And there are a few of them. Our sister seminary is one of them, our NAB seminary, Sioux Falls Seminary. You'll notice a picture of it there on the left. And on the right, President Greg Henson on the left, and then our president, Dr. David Williams, on the right, have been doing a lot of talking over the last couple years. And so that is bringing us into a much more closer relationship so that we can start to work together as part of the we, as our NAB conference executive talks about, the we of NAB. How can we work together more effectively? And so that's very exciting, and that is helping our students to be able to share faculty, share courses. There's things that we're working on so that we can make it more affordable for students, easier for them to study, and also more economical for each of our organizations. So we're very excited about that. So that's one partnership. And the second one is with the Cameroon Baptist Convention, focusing on the seminaries in Ndu and Kumba, creating basically a system of theological education across the country. And on that picture on the left, you will see a picture of our president, Dr. David Williams, with Johnson. And Johnson is a graduate of both Taylor and Sioux Falls, and now we're working with him in Cameroon. He's the president of the Cameroon Baptist Convention. So he's graduated and now gone back there, and he is working in Cameroon, and we are working with him there as we work to help that seminary there develop more in ministering to people in their own context. So that's very exciting as well. And, oh, here we are. This slide here, okay. How many of you are alumnus of CTI, NABC, Taylor? Put your hand up. I am. Wonderful. I know I've met some of you, and so that's great. Make sure, I want to talk to all of you. You can just come to the table, but I'd really love to say a hello to you. So we're so glad that you're alumnus, and you know, maybe one of you is yet to become an alumnus, as Pastor James said. So let's go on. Our next question is, well, where are we going? One more, Sandy. Oh, and one more again. There we go. So our founder, E.P. Wall, once said, and I'm going to read it from here. He said, "Put your life into the hands of the Lord and follow whichever way he leads." And the next lesson is to trust him again and again. And so these are wise words. And for each of us in ministry as Taylor, as I'm sure for you, it's important. At Taylor, we try to remember this as we pursue our mission in developing Christ-minded leaders who make a difference in the world. That's our mission. Well, what does that look like? You know, sometimes we hear these mission statements, and what does that look like? Well, for that is unique for each of our Taylor graduates. Some will be pastors. Others will be in ministry as chaplains, in prison ministry, as missionaries, in ministry to children or women, and the list goes on. It really is much more open-ended now in terms of our culture, in terms of the various ways that we can minister to people within our world. And so that's very exciting to hear some of their stories. And I will be telling you a few. And in fact, I'd like to share with you two of our Taylor grads telling their story of the ministry God led them into as they bring the love of Jesus to women in pain. They were working in Alberta with women here who were suffering from abuse and things like that. And then they tell the story of how God brought them to Rwanda, and I'm going to let them tell that story now.
Rwanda is a beautiful country. It's best known as a land in 1,000 hills and 1,000,000 smiles.
It is impossible not to fall in love with Rwanda. Its people are friendly, they are resilient, they are resourceful, and they are deeply spiritual.
Rwanda is also known, though, as the land of the 1994 genocide. And women, in particular, were so impacted by that genocide and experienced a tremendous amount of trauma. We received an invitation to go to Rwanda. And when you receive an invitation, you say yes.
You say yes.
It all started with the healing retreats that we developed here in Alberta for women impacted by family violence and abuse.
And then you met Pastor Emmanuel Gatera of Rwanda.
And he invited us to come to Rwanda to do similar healing retreats for women there that were impacted by both the genocide as well as domestic violence and abuse. while in Rwanda, preparing for the healing retreat, we visited many different women in their homes.
I remember one woman in particular living with her daughter in a shed barely bigger than a mattress. Both are HIV positive. The woman saw her whole family murdered in front of her eyes during the genocide and was raped on numerous occasions.
This story is actually the story of so many women who attended the healing retreat.
The retreat provided a safe place for women to tell their stories.
After each woman told her story, we responded by going to a wailing wall. And on the wailing wall, we wrote out our thoughts and our feelings as a way to indicate our response to the story of tragedy that we had just listened to.
And then when all the stories were told, they tore down that wailing wall as a symbol for a new future.
And as soon as they tore the wailing wall down, they erupted spontaneously into about 30 minutes of singing and dancing and celebrating. It was a phenomenal experience. We are so grateful, so thankful to have been given the invitation to go to Rwanda. The women that we met there have truly become our sisters, and we are looking forward to a continuing partnership and a relationship with them.
I have talked to Petra and Joanne many times, and they may be invited back a third time. And they have been asked to set up a leadership team there so that that work can go on with the local women that are living there. And it's a very exciting ministry, and so we're so excited. For them, it has totally been a faith journey. This is not anything that they could have even imagined when they came to Taylor or when they felt God's call. It has been God leading them step by step, and it's been a very exciting journey for them and also for us to feel encouraged through what they are doing and what God is doing. Well, the next question is, how are we going to get there? And, you know, how is it that we pursue ministry at Taylor? And so there's a couple of ways. Really, there are two sides in the equation of theological training. There's the seminary and the E.P. Wall Center. How many of you have heard of the E.P. Wall Center? Just a few. Okay, we're still getting the word out there, I think. So the seminary, as you're probably most likely aware of, offers accredited degree programs that train men and women for ministry. So that's accredited. And then the Wall Center, that's been operating since 2008 and developing more and more, provides non-credit continuing education to assist churches, lay leaders, church attendees, and pastors to grow in their faith and ministry effectiveness. So that means there's several different components to that, which I will explain. But first in the seminary, show you a few pictures and tell you a few things. It's always great to see students on campus. Our student body is just over 100 students, and here you see some of our faculty and staff praying for Alex Fringpong as he would be going back to minister in Africa as an evangelist after graduating. Other students no longer leave their job or ministry to attend school, but study online from their homes, churches, mission fields across Canada, South America, and Europe. And the other thing is that our students come from all walks of life, various age groups, different countries, and ethnic backgrounds. So in reference to what Pastor James said, if you feel God calling you, no matter what your age or ethnic background, you probably fit. You can be a part of that. You know, it's really interesting. I remember growing up going to Christmas parties at Taylor with my parents, and I loved the singing because it was in German and English. I loved hearing both of that. And now, not only do we have the German and the English, but we read scripture at our last Christmas gathering as well in Hebrew, Yoruba, Hindi, Korean, Japanese, Creole, and apparently, according to Carol Potras, we could have added at least 10 more. So it's amazing. It's amazing. It's so encouraging. I'll just do another picture here. Here you can see that as some of our players playing during chapel. And our past student executive is a good example of this diversity. Stephen is the leader of our student body in the TSSA. Logan is part of his church, and he's in pastoral ministry as he goes to school. 8 of our new students are currently working as pastors and going to school. 2 are foreign missionaries on furlough. The lady in the middle, Miranda, she came from Jamaica and experienced her first winter in Canada. So that was always fun talking to her to see about her experiences that way. And then Ai is from Japan. She's on the right. She goes to school, but she also works with the Japanese churches in Edmonton. And Derek, he's not pictured there. He wants to be a military chaplain. And so a lot of our students no longer come directly from college and are actually no longer primarily men. This year, we have 18 men and 15 women, new students, who have come. So, for example, I want to tell you a story of one student. And she called this past summer by phone from Hong Kong to inquire about how to apply for our Master of Arts in Intercultural Studies program. She called from Hong Kong. And she is a Canadian-born Chinese student who felt moved of God to travel to that area of the world and help very poor families. And then one of our students told her about Taylor, and she decided to come back and go to school. And she is full of the hope. She wants to get trained and go back to Hong Kong, but she understood that when she was there in ministry, that the Lord wanted to just help her have some more tools to be able to do that more effectively. And so if you ever meet her, it's always wonderful to hear her testimony. So then, onto the EP Wall. Basically, the EP Wall Center ministers in 3 areas. One is the ministry to ministers that you see here. We really want to make sure that our pastors are healthy and resilient in ministry. And so we've developed several things to help them in that, whether it's a conference or a retreat. And this is just so wonderful what your church has done for Pastor James to make sure he and his wife have a time to take a little rest and renewal. And then as well, we minister to churches. And if you're around in Edmonton, we invite you to come to our EP Wall lectures. There's several things that you can attend, and I'll let you look at the website to see what's all involved in that. But there's things that you can get involved in that we'd love, that you will, I'm sure, find interesting. And then our third area in the EP Wall Center is we really want to engage scripture together. And so there's been a few different topics that we have gone through. Last year we had a gathering, a dialogue talking about Islam and Christianity, and we had about 400 people there for that, and that was just amazing, and I think trying to help us understand all of that together. And God in the Modern World, there you see a picture of some of the people attending one of those things. And so really trying to minister to churches and pastors and people in the church in a very practical way. That's really what the EP Wall Center is about. Of course, we offer as well music. We still have music. We offer it through lessons. And then for any of you that do White Cross, is there anyone here that's familiar with White Cross here in your church? Wonderful. So White Cross, as you may or may not be aware of, serves as a humanitarian organization, and basically, those of you that are involved will know, but we provide medical supplies and relief goods to hospitals, health centers, and rest homes, and you can see that they go from here. The top picture is maybe you in your church rolling bandages or providing other things. We have been able to send beds and crutches and wheelchairs and other supplies like incubators and things, and sent them to Emmanuel Center here in Edmonton. And then from there, they get shipped on the container to Africa. And so from here to there to Cameroon and Nigeria. And that is a ministry that is blessing them so much. So thank you for your participation in that. And then the last thing I just want to say today is just thank you so much again for joining us on this journey, for fanning the flame of God's Spirit working. And I use that metaphor, fanning the flame, because that's part of our crest, and that's what we're doing when we're involved. We're fanning the flame of what God wants to do. And so we thank you for your part in that. Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. You may not know, but this church supports us, and 51% of our annual giving comes from churches, and so we really appreciate that from you. And as well, as Pastor James said, you might feel led to take a class. That can be for credit or not for credit. It's really interesting. We had one of the gals in our church was really trying. Someone had tapped her on the shoulder. We can go. And someone said to her, you know, I see this going on in your life. I see how God is leading you. Have you thought about maybe taking a short-term missions trip and pursuing that further? Or if you thought about going to seminary and just taking a course, she is now on the mission field. She finished her degree and she's working on the mission field. And so I think it's important for all of us to encourage that fan, that working of the Holy Spirit in each other's lives. You can find us on the audio archives if you want to look at something, or on Facebook. We would love to encourage you to do that. And one last story. What does it look like, again, to be a Christ-minded leader making a difference in the world? And why is this theological education so important? Well, Cheryl Grunwald, I think, really sums it up well. I'm not sure how many of you know Cheryl Grunwald. Some of you maybe know her. She's a missionary. She works with Kidzana Ministries, teaching leaders to work with children all over the world. It's amazing that the ministry the Lord has given her. She's a graduate of Taylor. And one day, when she was away, an Ethiopian friend and ministry colleague said, "Where do you see yourself in 10 years? And what are you doing now to prepare for it?" And you know, like most of us in the rush of day-to-day ministry and responsibilities, she hadn't really considered it. But his question struck a chord deep within her, and she really decided she needed to pray about that, to see where God was leading her, and to see what she might even be able to do now, even though she couldn't see down the road 1, 2, or 10 years from now. And as she thought of it, she realized that her friend's question pointed to the topic of legacy, of being intentional in how we live our lives for those who will follow us, to ask herself, how am I investing in those who will come after me? And that's why she thanks God for the opportunity to empower leaders who are raising up the next generation of world changers, and to impact leaders and ministries that reach far beyond herself. So basically, why is theological training important? Well, it bears fruit that will all over the world for years to come in the training of leaders for the church. And so again, we just want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. And you are the ones that are making some of these stories a reality. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, please feel free to come and talk. Thank you so much.